الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأن ليس للإنسان إلا ما سعى وأن سعيه سوف يرى سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم We are living our lives in most modern scientific time. Most of us have experience of working in the offices, either in multinational companies or big projects. So we know how to work in the office. We have a lot of experience, years of experience of our life. We have experienced that in every office there are three categories of working people. First one, the lowest one, is called the labor class. So in labor class there are those people who have only one job at one time. For example, electrician or plumber or some air conditioner technician. So these are called labor class. So if you look at their job, they have one job at one time. Just tell them what to do and then they will do it in the day or 2 days, and that's it. Then there is a higher class which is called supervisory class, supervisors. Now they are the people, they normally have two jobs at one time. For example, they have to do their own job and also they have to look after those people who are working under their supervision. So they have two jobs at one time. Then there is managerial class, those who are called managers, finance manager or mill manager or factory manager or general manager. They are the people, they have multiple jobs at one time. They can't say that, no, we have one job at one time. If they will say that we have one job at one time, so they will be demoted from their position and they will be told that, no, you can go and you can work in the supervisory class. If you are a manager, so you have to do multiple tasks. Number one, you have to look after the people, what they are doing. And number two, that you have to plan the jobs. And number three, you have to plan about the future, what to do in the future. So forecasting is also the job of the manager. So he has to think about the company profile and company growth and companies, how to achieve the targets. So he has multiple tasks. He cannot say that, no, I am doing this one job and I am busy. I am sorry, I can't do anything else. If he is a manager, he has to do multiple tasks. And we do. If you look at the life of a manager, not only he looks after those people who are working in the office. No, he has to attend the meetings for the finances, that what jobs are running, he has to support them, he has to manage the expenses for them. And then he has to pay back to the banks and other institutions where from they have got the loans. And then he has to plan about the growth, that how the company is growing, so how we will be able to fulfill the demand. And then he will see that after 5 years, what will happen to our company. So he will always have multiple tasks in his mind. So the manager who does all these tasks at one time, he is supposed to be an efficient and effective manager. And it's so strange that every one of us is doing all these jobs every day in the office. But when comes towards the end, I don't know why we just say, no, we are doing one thing and that's sufficient. We can't do anything else. Then we react as if we are just in the labor class. It is so strange that in the offices we have the capability to work in the managerial class, and we prove that we are very successful managers. We are very good engineers. But when comes towards Deen, we say, no, no, I am just making my prayers, and I am doing this, and I am doing this. So one job is sufficient. I don't have time for others. Even we don't think about our future. What will happen to us in the hereafter? Normally we have seen that while an engineer is working in the office, so he is also planning that I am renting a house, but I want that within next 5 years I should buy my own house so that I don't have to pay the rent. So at one time we are worried about our house as well. And then we plan the finances for that how we will be able to give the monthly payment for that. And we manage our time, and sometimes we take loan, or sometimes we curtail our expenses so that we should be able to build our house or purchase our house on monthly installments. So even if we are working in the office, but at the same time one project we are doing and we are looking after that project. And there are so many people who have surplus money and they make investments. So they are working in one office, but they have so many investments in other companies. They say, oh, I have bought the shares for this, I have bought shares for this, I have made this investment in this company and this investment in this company. So it means that we have the capability to do multiple tasking. We prove in our life that, oh Allah, we can do so many jobs at one time. So if on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask only one question, that in the office you were doing multiple jobs. Okay, while you were working for your rizq, for your dunya, so were you doing something for the hereafter? So what will the reply? Oh Allah, no, I could not have time. We have time. It's just a simple matter of management. For example, it's in hadith that every person who recites kalima, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allocates him a plot in the paradise. Now to build a house in that plot is the job of the person. If he makes good amal, then a beautiful house is built. Now the quality of the house and size of the house depends upon how much good amal he is making. Because it has been mentioned in hadith that the malaika who work on that palace or the house, they stop working at some times. The other angels, they ask, why you have stopped working? So they reply, because we don't have the raw material now. So the person, if he is busy in making namaz, in reciting the Quran, in doing khidmat for other people or good work, so it means that the raw material is available and the house is being built for him. And if he is not doing anything, then the raw material is finished. So if we built a house in this world, we always make sure that there should not be any deficiency in the raw material. Because if we are not able to provide the raw material, then labor will sit ideal and the cost of building will go manifold. And the project will be delayed. Similarly, if we are not vigilant about our hereafter and we are not providing consistent raw material supply, then the house which is built in the paradise will be delayed. And in this world, we want a house which has all the facility and has all the comforts and is the best quality house. As regards material, we want the best material from the market. Similarly, in the paradise, houses will be made. But one house, it will be built by bricks. One brick will be of gold and the other brick will be of silver. And the jointing compound or the cement which will be used, it will be made of musk, white musk. Subhanallah, how beautiful house that will be, which will be built by white musk, subhanallah. And then there will be houses in paradise which will be built whole by red ruby. Now here, if any woman gets a 5-carat ruby, she is overjoyed. Oh, I have a ring of red ruby which is 5-carat. Now in the paradise, she will have her house, whole house will be built of red ruby. Subhanallah, what will be the quality of that house? Similarly, in this house, whatever we make is for rest of the life. For example, if we built a 4-bedroom house, then in the future it cannot be 6-bedroom house. It is 4-room till the rest of the life, until we sell this house and buy a new one. But in paradise, it will be something different. We will build a house, but then in paradise, every day the design of the house will be changed. If the person will think that no, the entrance should be like this, the garden should be like this, and the room should be like this. So whatever he will think, the design will change every single day. So what a flexible and beautiful facility will be there. Subhanallah. And that will be a house where we will live for the rest of the life. For good we will live there. So we should be worried about that house, that we should try to make that house. And how that will be made? We have to supply the raw material in this world. While in this world we have to supply the raw material. We should recite the Quran, we should recite Durood Sharif, we should recite Istighfar, we should do good amal, we should interact with the people with good akhlaq, so that we should be able to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy, so that He should give us a house in the paradise. That's why the wife of Pharaoh, Asiya, she was very intelligent. She was really the first lady of that time. Because when Pharaoh, he told her that if you will not believe me that I am the God, then I will just push you away from my house. Then she made dua, رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Oh Allah, I want a house in your neighborhood in paradise. رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liked his conversation so much that he made it a part of Quran. So are we worried about our house in paradise? We can get it very easily. For example, if we build a masjid in this world, then Rasulullah told us that man bana lillahi masjidan bana Allahu lahu baytan fil jannah. That if you will build a masjid in this world, no matter how small or how big it is, no, Allah will build a house for you in return of this in paradise. Similarly, the person who will have a fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart, and then he will refrain from all the sins. So this person, he will be given multiple houses in paradise. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانَ. So he will not get one house in paradise, he will have jannatan. So two places in paradise. And it has been mentioned in hadith that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with a person, Allah makes a house for him in paradise. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with the scholar, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a city for him in the paradise. Now, how a city will be allotted to this person? The reason is that even in this world there are some very rich people, so they don't build a house, they build a full state for them. A city for them. For example, King Abdullah city. So the whole city made by the name of the king. Similarly, so these dignitaries, they build the cities for them. So those people who will be working for the sake of deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allot him a city in paradise. So they will have thousands of houses, and all those people who will love them and work with them for the sake of deen, they will also be allotted a house in that area, in that state. So it means that in this world, we can make our house in paradise very easily. But if we don't work for that, then on the day of judgment, it will be told that we gave you the chance to build it, but you never thought about it. You were busy in the dunya. You build a beautiful house in dunya, but you were never thinking about your hereafter. So that's why there is no house for you in paradise. You have to go to the hell. So an intelligent person is that while in this world, we have to make our house, and that's not difficult, that's very easily. Normally we say, we are working in the offices, we don't have time. No extra time is required for that. While we are working in the office, what is the requirement? That we should not speak lie, we should speak truth. And then we should work hard. And then we should be faithful about our duty. And then if we come to our house, we should have a loving behavior with our wife, with our children. And then we should be very soft with all the relatives and the Muslim brothers. So if we will have good akhlaq, so that will be the basically cost which is being paid for the house. Every single person goes from his house to the office, and it takes sometimes 15 minutes, sometimes it takes half an hour. So every day we spend half hour going and half hour coming. So in that time, what we are doing? We are driving a car, but we are not doing anything with our mouth. So if we can say La ilaha illallah, so maybe in half an hour we can say it up to 200 times or 300 times. So it means that we can do multiple tasking. We can do. It's not difficult. Our mashayikh, they tell us that your hand should be busy in work, but your heart should be busy in remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those people who do this multiple tasking. And he has mentioned in Quran that Rijalullah tulhihim tijaratum wala bayunan zikrillah, that those are my blessed people, that the business and the buying selling does not deprive them from remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it means that we should do two jobs at one time, that a hand should be busy in the work, but the heart should be busy in remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this we can do. We cannot make any excuse that we are not able to do it. We do it. If we can do multiple tasks in multiple jobs in our office, why you could not do the multiple jobs for our hereafter? We can do it. We have proved that, oh Allah, we are managers, and every single day we are worried about 10 jobs. We are worried about 10 projects. And there are people who are working as a director in companies, and the company has investment at 20 different places. And they are all the day thinking about whatever they have done at different projects. So it means that to get prepared for the hereafter is not difficult, is very easy. What we have to do, we don't have to do any exercise every day. That we say, no, I am not strong, I am not able to work out for 1 hour every day on the treadmill. No, it's nothing like that. And whatever is required is only that we should be a good human being, a good person. We should pray 5 times a day. We should recite the Holy Quran. And we should have good akhlaq. We should behave with other people in such a nice way that they should be happy. If we will make their hearts happy, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be happy with us. So nothing extra is required. Whatever we are already doing, we have to do it in the way as Sharia has told us to do. For example, if we have to eat our food, then we have to eat it in the Sunnah way. Instead of eating while standing, we should sit down on the dasturkhan, on the table, and then eat it with the right hand in the way in which Rasulullah used to eat the food. So if we do everything according to Sunnah, it means that at the same time we are doing the work of this dunya, we are building a house in paradise at the same time. So how lucky we are that we are fulfilling our needs, but because we are doing it in the way of Sunnah, then our house in the paradise is also being built for that. So may Allah SWT give us the tawfiq to be smart as regards our hereafter. And we should think about every day that how we spent our day today. When we remain forgetful from the hereafter, from Allah SWT, that is the time when we are being deprived from the house of hereafter. We should make dua, O Allah, we need a house in the neighborhood of Rasulullah in paradise. And if we will make dua, then Allah SWT will give us. It's not difficult to get it. It's simple. And there will be so many people in this world who will be even sleeping on the soft beds, but they will go to paradise on the day of judgment. Who will be those people? In hadith it has been told, they will be the people who will sleep on the soft beds, but at the same time they will remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will make zikr Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And due to making zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them a house in paradise. So we can achieve the house in paradise even if we are living a life of comforts in this world. To go to the paradise, it's not necessary that everyone has just to remain hungry and thirsty and deprived of other things, then he can go to the paradise. It's not like that. The requirement is that whatever we are doing, we have to do it according to the Sharia, according to the Sunnah of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Even if we are in working class, we will go to the paradise. We are in managerial class, we will go to the paradise. We are the owner of millions of dollars, still we will go to the paradise, because we will be doing everything according to the Sunnah of Rasulullah. There have been so many people in this world, they had lot of wealth of dunya, but then they had a fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their hearts. So they spent a life like a very pious person. For example, there was a big sheikh, Khaja Qutbuddin Bakhtiar Kaki Rahmatullah Alayh. And the emperors of the time in our area, India, Pakistan, they were even student of this sheikh. So when he died, so his funeral was brought in a very big ground. And there were over 100,000 people who were there to attend the funeral prayer. So then one person, he stepped forward and he said that, Hazrat, he gave me his wasiyat, that a person who will lead my funeral prayer, he should have few qualities. Only he can lead my prayer. And then the qualities were that, number one, that he should have never missed Takbir-e-Ula throughout his life. Takbir-e-Ula means that when we want to make namaz, then when Imam says Allahu Akbar, we have to say Allahu Akbar and start our prayer at the same moment. So that is called Takbir-e-Ula. So it means that this person never missed his Jamaat throughout his life. So it's so difficult for us. We have missed Jamaat many times in our life. And so many times we have missed our Rakat of Namaz. So this was the first condition. Then he said that the second condition is that he has never missed his tahajjud in his life. It was even more difficult. And the third condition was that he should be so pious that he has never missed his four rakat sunnah prayer of the asr prayer. In asr, we have to make four rakat sunnah, which is optional. And four rakat is farz. So normally we make four rakat farz. This is normally the common person's habit. But this person is so pious that he has never missed the four rakat sunnah throughout his life. And the fourth condition was even more amazing, that he should be a person who has never put a glance of lust towards ghair mahram. So when the people, they listened to these four conditions, so they were surprised. Oh, who is the one who can lead the funeral prayer? So there was a pin drop silence, but after a few moments, one person, he stepped forward and he was crying, and he came to the dead body of the Sheikh and he said, "Oh Sheikh, you died, but you disclosed my secret." Then he made an announcement that I swear in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I have all the qualities and I am now leading the prayer. People looked at him, he was the king of the time and his name was Al-Tamash. So if a king of the time, he can lead a life of piousness like this, then how we will be able to say, "Oh Allah, we were working in the day and we could not do this and this and this." This all is lame excuses. In the same circumstances and environments, there are people who have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heart and they are getting prepared for the hereafter at the same time. So we should give value to our future and we should be thinking about our future, that how we will have to go to the hereafter and what we will get when we will go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This everything we have to plan here, because we know that future planning has to be done before time. So we have to do the planning about our hereafter before time. Now is the time. There will be a time of death, and then after that we will not be able to plan anything else. Nothing. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to have a pious life according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we should do multiple jobs at one time regarding our hereafter. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Nine hours of patience. And he says that I have never missed my prayer. 9 hours operation continuous. And he says I never miss my prayer. I asked him a question that how you manage your prayers. He said that I am always with wudu. And then when it is time for prayer, then I put the patient at a place where I tell my colleagues, "Please do this, and I am just joining you." And then I pull myself back, take away my gloves, and in the same room there is a sheet which has been spread. So I make my 2 rakat or 4 rakat farz, and then I wash my hands and change off the gloves, and then I again join for the operation. So during operation he is still, and he said, "Every meeting, wherever I am, I have to pray at my time." So people do this, even in this time. So how we can say, "Oh Allah, we did not get time to pray"? We can do this. It's not difficult. Nothing is impossible. People are already doing it. It's just a matter of preference. Whenever we give importance to something, we find time for that. Just 1 year ago, there was a student, she was an MBBS doctor, and she appeared in Bukhari Sharif examination, and she was successful. So same time when she stood first in the Jamia, same time she stood first in the college, FJ College. And the principal, when he was giving her gold medal, he announced that this is our student of college, and she has been awarded 21 gold medal in her student life. So she was blessed with 21 gold medals. Every year gold medal, gold medal, gold medal. So on the MBBS side, she was number one. And at the same time, she was studying Deen. And in Bukhari Sharif even, she was on top of the list. So if she is a woman and she is managing both things at one time, how we can say that we cannot do this at one time? We can. I know there is a person, he is a major in the army. He is on job. And at the same time, this year he is the student for Mishkat Sharif. At the same time, he is doing both. So a major in the army, and at the same time he is In the afternoon, he is a student of the class for the knowledge of the Deen. And he is appearing for Mishkat Sharif this year. So next year he will do Bukhari Sharif. It's simple, a management of time. How you manage your time. Every day we waste hours of our life in just watching the TV news, world news, and this news and that news. And some people, they spend time on internet and they enter into the net. And some people, they just are texting to other friends. Lot of use of mobile, a cell phone, which is basically a hell phone. So if we save our time, we can do so many good things for our future. In an interesting story, one of our friends, his name is So he did his MBBS in Chicago University. And he was a very prominent student of the university. So when he did his last exam, final exam, he called me and he said that, Hazrat, I have used my all capabilities for dunya. Now I want to use my capabilities for hereafter. I said, okay, well done. So please get some time so that you can become an alim. He went to the dean of the university. And he said that I want 3 to 4 years off. Then I will start my career again. So Dean said, what you are going to do? Then he brought a very beautiful point. He said that the prophet of Muslims, he told in his conversation so many things regarding the medical field. So I want to make research on that, that in the light of modern sciences, what was the reality about that? And the American nation is sold out on research. So he said, okay, how much time you want? He said, I need 4 years. So he said, okay, you can go for 4 years. After 4 years, when you will come, you will start from the same point. So he called me, Hazrat, no, I have 4 years, what I have to do? I said, okay, then try to do 8 years alim course in 4 years. It will be a condensed course. But what the student can do in madrasa for 1 year, you can do in 6 months because you are more intelligent and mature. He said, okay, I will try. So then he came to the teachers and he started studying it. Alhamdulillah, instead of doing the 8 year course in 4 years, he did it in 3 years. And the Shaykh al-Hadith, he reported, he said that, Hazrat, I have never seen such an intelligent person in my life. He has a photographic memory. It was basically a talab in his heart because he was studying with such a zeal and passion that he was doing it in the best way. So when he completed, then he said, Hazrat, I have 1 year more, what to do? I said, what's your opinion? He said that, if you allow me, I want to memorize Quran. I said, okay, well done. Then he started memorizing Quran and he memorized the whole Quran in 8 months. 30 para in 8 months. Then he said that, Hazrat, I have 4 months to go. What I have to do? I said, okay, then spend some time with me so that I will teach you how to make zikr and get zikr-e kalbi and how you can make your tazkiyah and tasfiyah. So he came to me and spent his time. In 4 months, alhamdulillah, he made so much zikr and he studied about zikr and sulook so much that I delegated him even khilafat at the end of the year. So then he was going back and he asked me, Hazrat, what I have to do in America? I have what you are doing, you have to do the same thing. But at the same time, you have to work for deen if you have spare time. He said, okay. So he went back. Now in America, if you have to start your professional life, so you have to appear in a test which is called USMLE test. And it's a really very difficult test. I have seen some of my Pakistani doctors, that they appear 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, 9 times, and they cannot get through. It's so tricky, so difficult, that even the doctors, they cry that what a difficult test they have made it. So USMLE test is one of the very difficult tests in the world. So he had to appear in that, and he could not study. He was away from his studies since last 4 years, so there was a gap, time gap. But alhamdulillah, that he got prepared for that, and he appeared in the exam, and this was 6 hours exam. So there were objective type tests, multiple choice tests, and there were 1800 questions which we had to answer. And there were so tricky questions that people could not find that which is the best choice. But he appeared in this exam and he made a history. In the history of US, no one could achieve these marks. He achieved 1800 marks out of 1800. So a person, he became alim, he became hafiz, and he became a sheikh. At the same time, this person is setting a record in the history of US. No white, no black, no Arab, no Ajam. No one could get these marks in the history of US. He got it, 1800 out of 1800. So while the results was announced, so same time there were 3 big hospitals in America. So they offered him a job. And the first offer was $250,000 a year. So this was the best salary for him, start salary. If this is the start salary, so after a few years, how much he will be getting? In maybe half a million or a million per year. So he got the job, and these days he is working on DNA regarding the cancers. How to make the remedy of cancer from the DNA. So he is working on that. So look at the life of this person. He is also working every day, and he studied Deen as well. So people are doing a lot for their hereafter. It's not that we are not doing anything and we are making excuses. Really, we have to use all our capabilities for getting prepared for the hereafter. And when we will become serious, we will have so many opportunities. Because we will seriously think on that. We take it very easy and we say, no, we cannot make tahajjud. That is only for ulama. People even spending time in the offices in the day, they make tahajjud in the night regularly. Just 1 month ago, we were on Umrah and one couple came from Pakistan, and the husband was an engineer and the wife was an officer in government office in 17th grade. Both were working class persons. And they said that, Hazrat, since last 3 years, both of us has never missed tahajjud any single day. It has been mentioned in the books that there was a buzurg, Karth Rahmatullah Alayh. He used to make 70 tawaf every day while he was at the age of 70 years. So 70 tawaf every single day. And these days when we go for Umrah, for example, for 15 days, so in 15 days we are not able to make 70 tawaf. Normally people make tawaf 1 or 2 every day. And the one who makes more than 2, they are very few, very few. This year, after Hajj, there was a time when the tawaf was very light. Very few people were making tawaf. So 2 women of our group, they decided that, no, we have to complete 100 tawaf. So we will do 10 tawaf every day. So then it was a big task for them to make 10 tawaf. So they completed 100 tawaf in 10 days. And this person, he was making 70 tawaf every day in the age of 70 years. So for 70 tawaf, he has to pray 140 rakat nafal. So 140 rakat nafal is on one side. So people did so much for the hereafter. We should also try to do whatever we can. Utilize our time in the best way. We are not able to make even 50 rakat nafal. He was making 140 rakat nafal for 70 tawaf. And my own analysis is that if we start making 50 rakat, then after 10 rakat, while standing from ruku, instead of saying Sami Allahu liman hamida, we will say Ui Allah. Yes, our joint, they will feel pain. I saw a gentleman, he was young, he was from African countries, and he was making tawaf. So one of my friend, he was with me, I told him that I can find the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heart of this person, so please ask him who he is. So when he completed his tawaf and he was making turakat, so my friend, he went and he said that, who are you, please introduce yourself. In the beginning, he tried to hide. But when he asked him that my sheikh told me, so please, so then he said, okay, this is my name, I am resident of Makkah, and every night I make 30 tawaf, this is my schedule. So 30 tawaf per night, even people are doing now at this time. While I was a small child, so I used to study my Quran from a teacher. And my teacher was such a pious teacher that he used to complete whole Quran every single day. It was schedule as his life. After Fajr, he used to start from Alif Lam Mim. And at Asr time, he used to say, Wan Nas. Every single day. And every single day, he was just reciting the Quran, Quran, Quran. And in between, he used to stop and talk to the people. And then again he used to start reciting the Quran. So people did for their hereafter. One girl from Jeddah, her father was working in Jeddah, and she got admission in medical class in Pakistan in a girls' medical college. So she called me and she said, Hazrat, I need your guidance, please guide me. What to do? My problem is that I have got admission in medical class, and there is a lot of male interaction with the patients and interaction with the doctors. So a lot of interaction. So my problem is that I do namaz and recitation of Quran, everything, but I cannot keep control of my gazes. And at the same time, a lot of bad thoughts, they also come to my mind. So what to do? I told her that you have to keep fasting. This is the only way. So she said that how much? In the beginning, I told her twice a week. Then she said that, Hazrat, can you tell me something else? I said, okay, you can keep fasting one day and iftar the other day. She said, okay. So she started the schedule. After 6 years, she called and she said that, Hazrat, Alhamdulillah, I have completed my medical course with house job. Now I am a full-fledged medical doctor. But at the same time, in last 6 years, I have never missed my fasting one day. If a young girl, she is spending her time like this, that in 6 years, her schedule was fasting one day, next day iftar, then fasting, then iftar, then fasting, then iftar. And she also got good marks in her exams as well. So people are doing this even in these circumstances and environment. We are duty bound to do also for our hereafter.
وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.